The internet belongs to no one. Net neutrality. Might this be a legacy of President Barack Obama?
For most Americans, the internet has become an essential part of everyday communication and everyday life. The FCC is an independent agency, and ultimately this decision is theirs alone. But the public has already commented nearly 4 million times asking the FCC to make sure that consumers, not the cable company, gets to decide which sites they use.
The FCC must decide whether the internet belongs to the public as a common carrier, or whether it's instead a commodity like oil or steel sold by companies whose responsibility is to their shareholders, not consumers. The answer lies in your interpretation of Title II of the Communications Act. Rick Boucher is a former congressman from Virginia who once chaired the Subcommittee on Communications and Internet. He's now the honorary chair of the Internet Innovation Alliance and says reclassifying the internet as a common carrier under Title II could make the internet in the United States far less competitive when compared to other industrialized nations.
Under Title II, the internet would be treated under common carriage regulations if broadband were classified as a telecommunications service under Title II. And that would carry with it obligations on the part of the FCC to evaluate whether price regulation should apply, whether unbundled access in certain circumstances should apply, and the uncertainty that would create would dramatically retard investment. Under Section 706, a light-touch regulatory regime could be applied and answer all of the complaints that critics of the 706 approach have put forward. And those complaints are that total openness could not be assured. In fact, total openness could be assured using that surgical approach. With regard to the comparison for the balance of the world, you know, if you actually look at the figures with regard to Europe versus the United States, in Europe, internet availability is far less than it is here. Most places that you go in urban America feature LTE, and it's rapidly making its way into rural areas across the country. But Europe is substantially behind the United States in LTE deployment. Recent figures, in fact, show that 50% of all of the LTE subscribers in the world reside in the United States. So we are dramatically ahead in terms of broadband deployment as compared to other countries.
But Rick Boucher, I was not referring to a comparison with Europe. I was referring to a comparison with Korea, with East Asia, where availability is essentially part of the utility system of the infrastructure of those cities and rural areas. That's something, that's a road we've chosen not to go down.
Well, I would simply respond that the comparison with Europe is apt because in Europe there is a rather heavy-handed regulatory regime of unbundled access that has clearly retarded investment and resulted in Europe severely lagging the United States in terms of broadband deployment, both availability and speed where it is available. With regard to Asia, I would only point out that you're looking at very densely populated cities where the wired broadband providers have typically provided a very high-speed wired connection. The numbers that I see are something on the order of 100 megabits per second going into homes. And we're now approaching that on the wired side in the United States. But the United States stands second to none in terms of the availability of wireless broadband, which is what subscribers today are opting for in very large numbers. Most subscribers to broadband today are wireless.
All right, two things before we go then. Do you think it helps anyone to have Senator Ted Cruz in Texas calling net neutrality the Obamacare of the internet? Doesn't that serve only to polarize this discussion and lead it away from the technological sophistication that we're going to need to make this decision intelligently?
Well, it certainly does. I wholeheartedly agree. And in fact, for the conversation to be meaningful, it has to be somewhat technical. And if Title II is applied, there will be a dramatic inhibition to investment on the part of broadband providers. Currently, $60 billion a year nationwide, that number would drop dramatically. It would be a much longer time before we're able to expand broadband into the rural areas of the U.S. that are hungry for it today.
All right, finally, isn't it the case, and I know you're a student of history, that John D. Rockefeller in the oil era tried to make a special deal with the railroads to get his own sort of shipping rates favorable to him over other users of the railroads in freight, in delivering oil, in delivering other commodities, and that the Progressive Era and Teddy Roosevelt busted that and said, no, you are not permitted any sort of favorable rates just because you're a big player and just because you think that your wealth benefits the United States. Isn't it the case that most of the wealth that we understand as the success of the United States in the 20th century stems from a decision by the U.S. government to shut John D. Rockefeller down and call the railroads a common carrier? And that's what we need to do on net neutrality.
With regard to railroads, in that era, railroads were clearly a monopoly. To a large extent, they remain a monopoly today. And common carriage regulation in that circumstance is entirely warranted. So kudos to Teddy Roosevelt for making a clearly proper decision. Broadband today is very different. It's highly competitive. Something like 80% of Americans have a choice of five or more wireless broadband providers. They have a choice generally of up to three, sometimes even more, wired broadband providers. So that's eight providers that most Americans have an opportunity to access. It's a highly competitive market. And a competitive market like that should not be regulated under common carriage. To do so only retards the investment that stimulates competition and that also stimulates the innovation that has kept the United States first in the world in terms of developing information technology and the vast array of applications that are used for content on the Internet in this country and are very popular around the world.
And you've made that argument, and I think that's a great argument. But if I'm John Hockenberry, who wants to start the John Hockenberry Movie Internet Studio, and I go to Comcast and say, I want the same deal that Netflix gets, and they say, get out of here, you penny-anny little pipsqueak. You would support that? You think that's the appropriate way to deal with the Internet in the 21st century?
The issue you're talking about is paid prioritization. And paid prioritization could easily be eliminated under the terms of Section 706. That's that surgical approach that does not involve price regulation. And by applying that surgical 706 approach, the FCC could prevent paid prioritization anytime it causes harm.
So we agree. We agree that Netflix shouldn't get a special deal. Is that what you're saying?
I think Netflix should not get a special deal. But I think what's also important to note is that anytime paid prioritization for Netflix or anyone else is creating a disadvantage to the end user, perhaps retarding the speed with which the end user receives content on the Internet below the level that that particular subscriber has contracted with his Internet service provider to offer to him. Anytime it is retarded below that level, the FCC under Section 706 could find that to be a commercially unreasonable activity and bar that from happening. So the end user experience would be unaffected if it is degraded in any way. The FCC under 706 could step in and prevent that conduct from taking place.
If Ted Cruz allows the FCC to do exactly that and the Supreme Court agrees. But I will take your point, and I really, really thank you for a candid conversation. And will you help me with one thing, Congressman Boucher?
Sure.
Answering all of the responses we're going to get from this conversation that will flood in starting in about, an hour and a half from now?
Well, I'll do my best.
All right. Thank you so much. Rick Boucher is a former congressman from Virginia. He spent 25 years on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, chaired the Subcommittee on Communications and Internet. He's today honorary chair of the Internet Innovation Alliance. Thanks so much.
Thank you.